You're listening to CITR 101.9, broadcasting from UBC's Point Grey campus, located on the traditional, unceded, Coast Salish territory of the Hunkaminam-speaking Musqueam people.
Stumble to the kitchen, pour myself a cup of ambition, and yawn and stretch and try to come to life. Jump in the shower and the blood starts pumping. Out on the streets, the traffic starts jumping with folks like me on the job from 9 to 5. Watch him shatter. You're just a step on the boss man's ladder, but you got dreams he'll never take away. In the same boat with a lot of your friends, waiting for the day your ship will come in and the tide's gonna turn and it's all gonna roll.
Hey everyone, welcome back to Flashback, episode 5. We have a full house today. Joining me in the studio, as always, my friend, roommate, and brother in arms, Kareem Halisay. How's it going, man?
It's good. How are you? It's great to be here.
Good. Yeah, this is your fourth one in a row. You're like almost as integral as I am now.
Yeah. I just need to get on the title card.
You've leveled up.
Yeah.
Back again, my good friend Vita Luce. How's it going?
Good.
Good. Welcome back. And joining us for our first time in the studio, another Kareem Shamu, our good friend. How are you, man?
I'm good. A little nervous.
I'm glad you could join us.
We're taking over.
Make your debut.
Yeah.
It's going to be very interesting having two Kareems in one show, especially when there's no visual cues to help us distinguish the two.
Yes, but different spellings.
Different spellings.
That's important.
Yes,
for
different
radio.
Spellings and different voices.
Still
different
debate
voices
on which one's right, but
it's... I versus two E's.
Yeah. Take your sides. we're putting a Twitter poll out. You can vote on it and tell us which one's better. This is our first time in the studio in like a month.
Yeah.
Which, it's good to be back. We've got a lot to talk about, like a freaking random episode today, but it'll be really fun. We got a lot of good music, and we'll be speaking with my friends in the band IU from Seattle, talking to Anna Rose Carrico, the executive director of Redgate Art Society, and just catching up on all the crazy things happening in Vancouver. Well, let's get into it. What's
for breakfast today. What's on the words I'm morbid to say? I need to let my hair down and go up like a real ass bitch. A real ass bitch, bitch. What's on the rules for breakfast today? What's on the words I'm morbid to say? I need to let my hair down and go up like a real ass bitch. A real ass bitch, bitch. It's beat up my whole life. I've been shot down, kicked down twice. Ain't no stopping me tonight. I'ma get all the things I like. I've been beat up my whole life. Been shot down, kicked down twice. Ain't no stopping me tonight. I'ma get all the things I like. My niggas taking over. Rockhampton, call your mama. My niggas going platinum. Breakneck, see you to the doctor. Best boy bands is One Direction. Making niggas itch like a skin infection. Did me wrong like a perfect Simpson. Did me wrong, you can change your song, hun.
Who got me riled up? Who the lame ass bitch wanna talk about us? Ooh, who got me riled up? Who the lame ass bitch wanna talk about us? Ooh,
come get it from me, from me, come get it from me, come get it from me.
Breaknecks, I'm the chiropractor. Come on down, you know I got ya. Real shit feeling saturated. Real honest, my fuck the haters. Breaknecks, I'm the chiropractor. Come on down, you know I got ya. Real shit feeling saturated. Real honest, my fuck the haters.
When you see me in the street, they say willy willy. When you don't see me in the street, I'm like a hillbilly.
Right. Well, one big thing that's happened in the world since we have been on was the Champions League, Liverpool versus Real Madrid. Kareem Halise, you and I went and watched that downtown Vancouver.
Yeah.
As a Liverpool fan.
Yeah.
How are you doing?
Still very raw.
Yeah.
Had a bad day yesterday.
Yeah.
I've never been in a time zone where the game's been so early, so I had to suffer for the rest of the day. So that was like especially difficult. But yeah, but like, I was proud of my team to get to the final. That was very, very exciting. And like to go to the bar and like experience it with a bunch of other Liverpool fans was like very cool as well.
Yeah, no, the energy in there was.
Yeah. Did you enjoy it as awesome. Like a neutral?
Yeah, it was fun. It was fun. I was telling you last night it was like weird to be in there and kind of like objective about it.
Yeah.
Because I was rooting for Liverpool
by default
and out of fear of the other patrons. But It was like a huge energy shift in there when Mo Salah got injured.
Yeah, the best player got injured.
Yeah. It was harsh. It was not the best first game to watch, maybe.
No.
Just because it was very, like...
Emotional.
It was very dramatic,
yeah,
too.
Yeah.
Like, it was very...
It was like a tragedy in, like, the events that happened in terms of just... Like, the goalkeeper made a few terrible mistakes as well, and it was just, oof.
Yeah, he's getting a lot of flack for it, too.
Which was hard to watch as well. He was crying at the end of the game, though. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
Did you guys go to, like, a pro-Liverpool bar?
Yeah.
Like, so where did you go?
It's called the Cinema on Granville, and it was, yeah, they had, like, three bars for the game. And it was, like, we actually, like, saw Liverpool bar, like, Liverpool fans just, like, out and about downtown as well.
That's awesome.
It was...
Which after the game was like everyone was kind of put out, but it's okay.
Did you see more Liverpool than Madrid?
I think so.
There was like one guy, or there were a couple like Madrid fans in our bar. One of them got booed out.
Oh,
Yeah, well, whoa. Otherwise, it was really fun. This is a family show, Vita, by the way. I just want to clarify that. Good thing we have post-production.
It's funny because I was just telling Kareem not to swear.
Yeah. I was like, what are the rules? She's like, I don't know if you even can say that word. Yeah. And
that word.
I mean, it's not even as bad as that. I just wasn't sure.
I'm going to have to walk you guys through the programming policy packet after this.
Nice. Yeah.
Anyway, in honor of Liverpool, we want to listen to a song by one of the great Liverpool bands. The Beatles.
There we go.
Deep cut. We're going to listen to Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band in honor of Liverpool, who still have a bright future.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah,
for sure.
Overall positive.
All right. Let's get into it. Well, shout out to Liverpool. So, moving on. Good news in Vancouver. They're banning plastic. Straws, yes. Single-use straws. When I saw the story, I thought of you, Vita. Because I think we talked about plastic last time you were on the show.
We did.
Yeah. Are you excited about this?
I'm so excited. I'm really glad that this is happening. Because I think, like, as much of a nice convenience, like, that straws are, I'd feel like they're very pointless in terms of the impact on our environment and all plastics, really.
Because for sure.
I think people can just, like, I bring around my own, like, reusable utensils. I think everyone can do that. It's not that hard, and it doesn't cost that much, and it saves money. So.
Right, right. Yeah, so the policy isn't introduced till June 1st, 2019, which is, like, a year from now. But it's still good, I think. Mm-hmm. I think people can just choose to be conscious about what they do in that year. But basically, like, how it works is businesses have to choose between one of the following options. So they can choose to do no distribution of disposable cups or plastic / paper shopping bags at all, or charging an extra fee for disposable cups or plastic paper shopping bags, or other solutions they can, like, propose and get finalized. But what was really interesting was a statement said the city will bring in an outright distribution ban on single-use items if the reduction plans don't help the city get its target reduction rate.
So is that on top of the following options? Like,
so that's if the following options don't cut down the waste like they want it to.
Oh, okay.
Pretty much.
Right.
That makes sense.
That'll be interesting to see how that plays out.
That'll be great.
Yeah.
Especially because, like, I know UBC is trying to go zero waste, but I see plastic everywhere.
Right.
Like, the thing that frustrates me the most is, like, when I see orange slices in a plastic container in the cafeteria. That is the most pointless thing I've ever seen. Just peel an orange. It's not that hard.
Right.
And then you don't need that plastic at all. So, I don't know.
Yeah. I think I kind of admitted to being a wasteful person last time I was on. But I haven't bought a single plastic water bottle since then. And
yes!
I even have a reusable one outside the studio.
Nice.
Yeah. So, it's good.
That's great.
Part of the resistance. Part of the fight.
Part of the fight. The fight against waste.
I have my UBC water bottle right here with me, just so that, you know, I can fill it up whenever I need
to. That's great.
And so, don't have to buy
it. Shout out to plastic water bottles. Or not plastic water bottles.
Reusable.
Oh, God.
Reusable water bottles.
But no, I think it's good what the city's doing, and hopefully it makes a difference, and hopefully people comply so they don't have to do a whole distribution ban.
Yeah, hopefully it spreads also to other places.
Yeah. One thing I've always wondered about banning straws and plastic cups, when you get iced coffee, what do they serve it in?
Well, I think there's a program, it's called MugShare at UBC, where you can get, like, a reusable mug, and it's, like, a little bit like the Eco2Go system, where you get a carabiner or something, and then you turn it in, and you get a reusable mug, and then you turn that in when you're done with it, and they'll wash it, and then you get the, you know, carabiner back, and it's a whole return system, so you can drop them off everywhere. I think it just makes way more sense to do it in something like that. Like, there are reusable, like, hard plastic smoothie containers and iced coffee things, so I think it's possible. I don't think it should be that hard, and if we really started using more MugShare and Eco2Go type systems, I think it would make a difference.
I think you just gotta take some time to get used to, because, like, banning plastic is a big thing. It's a step in the right direction, but it really is just going to get, like, people are going to have to get used to it.
Yeah, it'll be a huge change, because I think we're so reliant on single-use items.
Which is ridiculous.
You get your coffee, you go to your class or you go to work, and then you throw it away halfway through.
And those coffee cups aren't actually recyclable, because they have a wax... or, like, kind
the
of plasticky.
You're talking about the paper ones?
Yeah, they have a wax or plasticky lining on the inside so that, you know, it keeps everything, like, kind
doesn't
of...
get soggy, yeah.
It doesn't get soggy. But, so that's why it's, like, it's... even the things that you do think are recyclable aren't quite fully. So it's better to just completely switch over to reusable items.
Was the policy brought in by Robertson's government?
I don't know who proposed it, but... Yeah. They definitely, like, have, I think Vision has the majority, so I guess Robertson. So, hey, shout out to Gregory Robertson. I know we say a lot of negative things about you here.
Well, our guests do.
Or our guests do. Yeah. but this is cool, and this would be a good legacy to leave behind.
You did good things at the end.
The housing market might be screwed, but at least we're going to be a little more sustainable.
Yeah, exactly.
So, in honor of plastic, we're going to listen to a song called Rage of Plastics by U.S. Girls.
Some skirt and some old man's dream. I got caught. from the perks of my devotion's curse. And I know, yeah, I know the man's pain is much worse. For the moon and his grace are now with me.
You say the first one now,
will later be last. My faith in scripture
has come to pass.
Now I won't play dumb. I'm just trying
to sweeten the slow.
And you give me
Okay, we've got one more topic. So we've covered some international news through the tragedy of the Champions League. Mm-hmm. Local news with the exciting plastic band or plastic straw band. And then looking at national Canadian news, Tim Hortons is having a really rough year. So they got a lot of hate early on for cutting employee benefits. Some franchise owners said it was in response to increasing minimum wage, like this happened in Ontario. They said because they're going to pay them more, they can't give them the benefits they had before, which is, think about how much the franchise owners are making versus the employees, and it's just stupid.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah, so they got some deserved hate for that. But then, this is really gross, and I'm going to have a hard time talking about it, but there was a video of a woman defecating and throwing her feces at employees in Tim Hortons, which...
Oh my God!
CITR strongly condemns.
Is that the one where she's like arguing with the person and then she just goes to the side and does that?
I think so. I think so.
I might have seen that video. I didn't know that was Tim Hortons. No. That's pretty crazy.
That's so insane. Like,
does that reflect poorly on Tim Hortons though?
No, I just think it shows like the kind of year they're having.
I was just surprised she was able to scoop all that with one scoop.
That's gross. Oh man. I can't believe that happened.
Yeah.
I like just learned about that this morning too, and I thought that was the worst like news story I've read in a long time.
You have particular trouble with bodily functions.
I'm very squeamish.
I'm
very squeamish.
I'm so surprised you chose to talk about this.
I know.
Well, if you know the language I've used.
I thought you meant he had particular trouble with bodily.
Oh my God.
I took it the other way.
Man, we're gonna have a lot to cut in post. Yeah. Also, though, Tim Hortons is not, for the first time in a long time, not ranked as one of Canada's most trusted companies. They're behind Google, behind Shoppers, a couple other ones that I'm like, just
can't
be asked.
Were they ever ahead of Google?
Yeah, they were. Google's number one right now, I think. Okay. Which is really funny that Google's the most trusted company.
But I actually heard, isn't Google starting to develop artificial intelligence for... the U.S. government for their drones.
Dude, probably. I don't trust that.
That's why I was like really upset. Because, like, come on, Google. Like, you're better than that.
AI is the scariest thing ever.
Really?
I mean, like, it can be really good, but it can also be really bad.
Yeah,
just depends,
I think
how you use it.
Exactly, and depends on the way that you look at it. Because, like, it could revolutionize so many things and make so many things better. But it could also be, like, awful and used in a terrible way. Yeah.
We wouldn't have Google or, like, Alexa or Google Home or anything like that without AI.
Although, Alexa kind of creeps me out a little bit because apparently, like, if you have something like that in your house, it's, like, constantly recording.
Mm-hmm.
So they can use it in, like, trials and stuff as, like, evidence against you.
But, I mean, actually, now that the... GDRP is that the, you know, have you been getting like all those emails with the privacy policy? It's because like EU changed their privacy policy. A lot of companies, including Google, if they want to still be able to like to function and everything, they have to allow the user to choose whether or not the company has like can delete all their information for their ads and everything. That's the new privacy policy. So basically, you should be able to tell, you know, Google, I don't want you to have any of my information, delete all of it. And that's basically all the emails that have been coming out. So you could probably do that with Alexa, where you would tell, you know, it's like, I don't want any, you know, personal information going through.
That's some, like, 1984 stuff.
Yeah.
That's terrifying.
We're going through your greatest fears right now, feces and now AI. This is not a good segment for you.
I heard somewhere, though, you know how, like, there's this thing that the robots are going to take all the fast food jobs, right?
Yeah.
Eventually. The one upside to that, because, like, it's going to be terrible because a lot of people are going to be out of work. But one upside is that a disgruntled robot can't do anything to your food with bodily fluids.
With bodily fluids.
So you don't have to worry about that.
It's all coming full circle.
They're just going to throw your Big Mac on the ground and step on it.
Yeah, there's a website, actually, that tells you what chances you have that your job...
Is it going to be automated?
Is it going to be automated? Yeah. Yeah, I think accountant that. Is the most likely to be automated. Yeah. Pilot is the least. Pilot and software engineer, I think.
You'd be surprised at the amount of jobs that, like, are likely to be automated. Like, lawyers can be automated because it's all just, like, paperwork and just sifting through, like, kind of your case.
Yeah, but so, they can't really argue in court.
That's true, but, like, it's a lot more... Like, automation isn't just for the kind of, like... low-skilled jobs, like,
very true.
Especially with, like, the rise of AI as well.
Well, one thing we can all take solace in is that they can't take over radio hosting.
So You never know that. Don't be so confident.
No one can replace you.
Oh, thank you. See, I don't bring
That's
you
That's what he's worried about.
Yeah, really.
I don't bring you guys in for interesting opinions. I just bring you in to boost my self-esteem. All right, let's take a music break. We're going to listen to Champion featuring Travis Scott by Nov.
Ballin' like I'm in the NBA. No, these rats cannot see TSA. They found me, now I had to relocate. Finna take off on spaceship. Rats need some play Matrix. And fuckin' her, she nameless. The last two was too famous. We got that trophy like a champion. Fell asleep right on the jet, we gone.
Big rings just like a champion. No TSA, hop on a jet, we gone.
Smash out. I call my open, then I smash out. I bought my bros, let's get this cash out. I in my mind, dropped a bag off. Bag off, yeah. I'm going to Brady, don't make no bad call. Just bought a new crib, but one was mad small. I drew my cup, I make it mad tall, mad tall. None of these songs is basic. Yeah. Grease stuck in my teeth like braces. Yeah. VVS's don't need LASIK. Yeah. Ice across this freezing Satan. Yeah. Finna take off on spaceship. Y'all need some like Matrix. And fucking her, she nameless. The last two was too famous. Yeah. We got that trophy like a champion. Fell asleep right on the jet, we gone.
Big rings just like a champion. No TSA, hop on a jet, we gone. The famous girl to mask off. Pop a bean and let the bass talk. Bought 10 bottles on the last call. Flew a basic girl out from Alaska. Illegal alien inside my spaceship. Two C's on my shoes, these not no A6. Get out my face, my pockets full of faces. Bust on gold AP, that's not no stainless. My rollie tell me what the day is. I like her cause she basic, she got braces. Her followers 100K and she too famous. If she got 1,000, might make her my meme. Yeah.
Finna take off on spaceship. Dodge needs some play Matrix. And fuckin' her unless she nameless. Cause the last two was too famous. We got that trophy like a champion. Fell asleep right on the jet, we gone.
Big rings just like a champion. No TSA, hop on a jet, we gone.
We got that trophy like a champion. Fell asleep right on the jet, we gone.
Big rings just like a champion. No TSA, hop on a jet, we gone.
Ballin' like I'm in the NBA. No, these rats cannot see TSA.
They found me, now I had to relocate.
Okay, well, looks like you guys all have to run. This is kind of like a bad birthday party, and I'm going to be alone now.
Aww. This is the first.
But it'll... well, thank you guys for coming in so much. Before you go, I usually do this for like my interview guests, but why not do it now? Shout-outs or call-outs, so if you feel positive and want to give someone a shout-out, you can. If you're feeling messy and want to call someone out, you can do that as well.
You're really putting us on the spot.
Kareem Halise, you're first.
I'm first?
You're first.
Brilliant. Well, first of all, I'm going to like call out, calling back to the Champions League game.
Mm-hmm.
The reason our best player got injured is because the Real Madrid captain kind of did a judo tackle on him, where he grabbed his arm and then his shoulder got dislocated, which was particularly terrible. So he's gotten a lot of hate today.
Are you
today.
Saying that was intentional?
Oh, it was totally... You saw it. Did you think it was intentional? Brilliant. First use
of the soundboard yeah. that I forgot I had until just now.
Nice.
Okay, so shout out or call out call to out,
yeah.
Sergio Ramos?
Yeah.
Okay.
Good on remembering his name.
Oh, yeah, dude, I'm in on soccer now. I'm in on football.
Thank you.
Nice.
Kareem Shamoot?
Just want first shout out to Kareem.
Thank you.
The other one.
Yeah, the other one.
Okay.
I've just been waiting the whole podcast to say that.
Some name dropping.
not many others. Good on Vancouver for the plastic ban. Sorry, Vita, if you were going to say that.
That's okay.
Yeah.
Okay, Vita Luce.
Alrighty. Shout out to the T-Birds girls team for coming in fifth at Nationals. This is the ultimate Frisbee team.
Mm-hmm.
They just played and they're done and they finished today and I think they're pretty happy with how it went. So yeah, shout out to them. Melissa, if you listen to this, love you girl. And that's it.
Awesome. All right, thank you guys for coming in. We're going to go to commercial and we'll be back with my friends in the band IU after the break.
Want to know what's up at UBC? Read the UBC. It's only the largest student newspaper in Western Canada, and it's written and edited entirely by UBC students. The UBC is your source for on-campus news, culture, and sports. New editions come out every Monday and Thursday. For breaking news as well as amazing videos and blogs, check out ubc.ca.
At Dunkin' Donuts, each and every
radio show
is brewed fresh and served fresh at the peak of its flavor. If you're a tough customer, only the taste of this
radio show
will do. So go ahead, let Dunkin' Donuts make your
radio experience
exquisite.
Indeed.
Dunkin' Donuts, serving sweet treats from the Pop Underground. Thursdays, noon to 1.
$100 bills. She don't want love. She wants my hundreds.
you never knew me then, and you'll never know me now. When bellies are hungry, but there ain't no money, you get it and don't care how. Be the one everyone likes, just approval till you die. I'm the one they love to hate, I'm the one who will survive. Go and say what you want, you're just a stranger watching from the bleachers, cause you can't take the danger.
Welcome back to Flashback. Here I am alone in the studio. Again, kind of like a bad birthday party. Everyone's left. But it's okay because I'm about to get some great friends on the phone. My friend from high school, Tyler, is the guitarist of a Seattle-based neo-soul band called IU. So I'm going to play one of their songs really quick and then we're going to get them on the line. The song's called Ono. Okay, hey, welcome back. I'm on the phone via FaceTime with Brady, Scott, and Tyler from IU. We just listened to their song, Oh No. How's it going, guys?
Doing well. Pretty sweet.
Good. Thanks so much for calling in. So really quick, if you could just each say what you play in the band, like what you contribute.
Yeah, I play the electric guitar.
Cool.
I play saxophone.
Very cool.
I play the bass and I do production for the band.
Awesome. Yeah, I'm so glad you guys are able to call in. I really actually enjoy your stuff.
Thanks, man.
I'm excited to hear more. not joining us right now, unfortunately, the singer Katie Rose, the keyboardist Jason, and then who was the other one?
Drummer. Billy.
Okay, Billy. That's right. That's right.
All wizards in their own respect.
All wizards?
Yes. Yeah.
That's a good term. So basically, I'm curious how IU got started in the first place.
Yeah. So I'm originally from Louisiana, and when I came here, I had a group in Louisiana. I really wanted to start playing on like the scene here and all that. And so what basically happened is I just reached out to each of the individuals on their own and just started speaking to people. And next thing you know, we've got a pretty happening group and all that.
That's cool. How'd you find everyone? Did you like scout people out, or was it just kind of like, oh, you're into music, let's talk?
It's really kind of a testament to a running joke that we have up here where everyone's like, everyone knows Scott and all that.
It's real. It's very real.
So I think it's kind of played into that. Like a few I met through music, and then I met Tyler at our university store.
Okay.
And I was just like speaking to him, and then next thing you know, he's in the band. So
okay. Yeah. So you have like a six degrees of Scott thing going on, right?
Yeah,
you can connect everyone through Scott.
So, pretty much. Yeah.
Very much so.
That's cool.
And I think it's also important to establish that IU is like smaller than what we have for us, because we actually have a whole production, a team of like 15 people.
Wow.
So it's kind of all for some reason connected through me and the relationships that I established.
But sure.
It extends into creatives like as designers and promoters and all that.
Right.
So it's really interesting.
That's great.
Happened.
That's really cool. I noticed like you sent me the tracks to play, Tyler, and you gave the credits, and it was like both songs had people who weren't part of the main six involved, which I think the collaboration is a really cool element of it, because I feel like a lot of college rock bands are usually like small and they're usually not super collaborative. So I think it's cool that you guys are doing that. I also think your sound is really cool. It's really distinct. I think there's like obvious like jazz and soul influences in your music. Who are some of the artists you guys would say you're inspired by or influenced by?
Oof, that's, well, I'd say one person who has really inspired me and is really my idol and kind of a lead in direction for this group would have to be Robert Glasper. Actually, my senior year of high school, I was able to meet, perform for, and play with him.
Okay.
And he's like this Grammy winning artist who has pretty much played with everyone from Herbie Hancock to a J Dilla.
Okay.
And,
wow.
Yeah, when he was still here. So it's really cool to just be able to connect to that history. So I think
that's amazing.
I would say everyone kind of in that genre of like the Soulquarians, so like J Dilla and like D'Angelo to everything that's going on now with the neo soul movement, like Moonchild and Hiatus Coyote and the Internet, all those. I mean, it's, I'd say across the band, it's really eclectic, because some of us are like, some of us can go like really hard on just straight jazz, and then we also have a lot of contemporary influences. So it's a big melting pot of just good stuff.
Sure.
I'd say.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
That's great. Okay. I'm also interested kind of in like how you guys write your songs, because just when you listen to it, like we just listened to Ono. And there's lots of moving parts happening, right?
Ooh, that's a story, though.
And the song,
how long do we have?
So we have time if you want to get into it.
Great.
But I'm just curious, like, the songwriting process, like, I don't write music. But I know the way everyone does is differently. So, like, with songs like that, are you starting with, like, a melody, an idea,
Can I talk about
theme?
The group, and then you want to talk about your process?
Yeah, because, like, that one we created in Louisiana originally.
Yeah. Wow.
So like, yeah, so that's like a whole different process than we do
usually
up here, but you
kick
it off.
So for the group, I mean, it's kind of crazy. I think all of us write music for the most part. So the way it usually works is when we have some free time, which is few and far between, but like when that happens, we'll all sit down and we'll kind of lay out some ideas, and then we'll choose which ones we want to pursue first. And then it usually is just the chords. Sometimes there's a melody. But then, like Katie Rose and Scott, we usually come up with a melody and lyrics. And if the chords are there, then the rest of us just kind of, I mean, Billy will figure out the beat along with Scott. And then, the rest of us just kind of add our own little bit of spice. But, I don't think there's ever been, I wouldn't say there's a uniform process. It's pretty different because right. Every time it comes and in song, at a different songs, stage.
Song to song, it's going to be different as well.
Yeah, I'd say that it's usually for what I'm used to, because I think the one common thread between Louisiana and here is that I'm able to bring in these individuals and they have an idea of what they want it to be. Mm-hmm. And then it ends up just becoming this whole project and all that. And we're like, okay, that's pretty cool how it happened.
Sure.
So, yeah.
That's really cool. Okay. And then what's Ono about? Like, the name or just what is it about? Like, that's what I've been trying to figure out for the last, like, week since I've had the file.
Ding, dun, ding, dun.
Yeah.
What's the hook into that one?
Oh, man. Looking down from a cloud, I long to see your face. Yeah, we're not really familiar with the titles.
Because when I did Ono, originally it was called Hot Joint, because it's inspired off of a Mac DeMarco's On the Level. Ding, 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 ding. Because that's when it comes in hard with the with like the synth line. But it's really about kind of like if wishes were horses, only beggars would ride. You know what I mean? Like,
so wait, who did the lyrics for that one?
It was pretty much in Katie Rose, and okay. Then like a smudge of like me, just to string things along. I think it's kind of a little bit about when you're in something and you're really detached from that idea or that a concept or whatever, because I remember really being fixated on the idea of being above the person that you're interested in, and you're having to kind of almost like stare down and be like you're happy for all that they are accomplishing, but like you're not in that sphere anymore. So it's kind of that whole thing where you're on like the sidelines of life a little bit.
Sure.
So yeah.
Sure. Okay, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to listen to the other song you guys sent me called The Grind, and then we'll be back with more IU.
What a song, what a problem, isn't mine any longer. All you told me, gonna shed it.
Thank you.
Okay, so you guys opened for Pusha T and Rich the Kid at the University of Washington. It's like the end of the year concert kind of thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, what was that whole experience like?
That was Do you want to talk?
Yeah. I mean, it was. I think it was really cool for us. Just kind of like an opportunity to play at something that's kind of on the biggest scale we've ever played at before.
Sure.
So, talking about the spring show, what that was like.
The spring show, yeah, that was pretty. That was pretty cool.
I think it was our first crowd over 1,000 people.
Wow.
Would you say it was? I think it was pretty darn close.
It was a whole lot of people.
All right. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's so cool.
But we recently played at that house show for Human Condition.
Okay.
It was our most recent gig.
Where it was, like, pretty packed.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. It was pretty awesome. Yeah.
That's so cool. Were you able to interact with either Pusha T or Rich the Kid while you were there?
So I actually had to split out straight after.
Okay.
So I wasn't able to. But I heard that they split out straight after they got done.
Okay, performing. Yeah. No, that makes sense.
Yeah, because I think they both had to catch red eyes.
Okay.
Yeah.
And all that.
Don't talk about open mic equal, though.
Oh, yeah. Are we on the air right now?
Yeah.
Okay. I was actually able to meet open mic equal after we got done. Playing on a concert hosted by Rainy Dog here.
Okay.
The radio station.
Yeah.
And it was pretty cool because he's had a lot of influence on the industry and all that, and just speaking to him, he's just a regular guy. So
that's so cool. Just what are some other highlights you've had? You kind of talked about the house show for Human Condition you did, which is that's the Seattle magazine, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
What are some other like highlights, big performances, or just like successes you feel like you've had?
I think ultimately our biggest success has been creating a community for ourselves and all that. Mm-hmm. Either in our collective within IU, or whether it's just creating a community within the student body. And I think for a little bit for all of us, like, it's kind of turned into the thing where we're starting to get recognized around school, or like even in the neighborhoods of Seattle. Like, one time I was hanging out in Green Lake, and someone's like, "Are you an IU?" And I'm like, "Yeah, I'm an IU."
Yeah, that's a weird experience.
It's been pretty strange, cool. Because it's been really strange, because I think small-time success is just a strange idea for me.
Right.
So, especially what I've been struggling with recently is when I perform, I'm a whole different human than who I am on, like, a day-to-day basis. So I think when people meet me just on, like, on a chill basis, they're kind of having an expectation of who I am as a performer.
Yeah.
Which is not 100% me all the time. So
no, sure,
that's really weird as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so really quick, we got to wrap up. But before we do, people who want to keep up with IU, where can they go?
So our main channel for keeping things fresh is IU.band. Okay. On Instagram. That's where we'll plug anything new that we post to a streaming site, or if we have information about gigs or really any updates, it's going to go to our Instagram at IU.band. But we have a Facebook as well, and that's at IU Band Official. But everything, if you want to see like previous shows, or like see some of the other people involved, our website is iustew.com.
Okay.
And that is kind of the hub for everything that's going on in our little community here. But yeah, I would say the Instagram at iu.band is where people are gonna, if they want to hear more from us, that's the place to go.
Awesome. And then I give every guest the opportunity to give either a shout out or a call out if you're like, you know, feeling messy. So each of you, if you want to do one of those really quick.
I think one second here.
Everybody.
All right. We're gonna give a little quick shout out to everybody in our community. I'm gonna like briefly go over what they do. So everyone not here. So our guy Quinn is one of the songwriters with us. He's just awesome guy. Jason on the keys, absolute wizard, jazz master. Billy on the drums is a monster, like insane. Wilson on the production. I don't even understand how, like, a 19-year-old can be that skilled. Kai, always coming in with the,
the audio, dude.
Live audio, he's killing it. Sarah with the PR, she's killing it as well. Ade, for photography. Jacques, as well for just audio, live audio, and photography, too.
Yeah, and photographer, and then we got Stuart and Evan, and yeah. Alex, who always help us out. Yeah. And I guess an overall shout-out is to Human Condition for helping us out so much, and UW for hosting us.
Yep, yep.
HFS.
Housing and Food Services.
Housing and Food Services at UW.
Sponsor us.
All right. Tyler, Brady, Scott, thank you guys so much for calling in. Keep up with IU at iustu.com and iu.band on Instagram. And all right, we'll see you guys later. Thanks for calling in.
Thank you.
Thanks,
Alex. Appreciate it.
One in the head, one in the bag, bubbling. Look at the cash coming in. Come get your man, slip. Quit out of jaw jackery. Don't even pass me that, I don't want none of it. He's freaking mad about it, had enough of it. Whoa. Watch what you say it, how that popping is shaking. Got me hot as a laser, my posse deep in irate. And we act a fool for the paper, had a dream and I made it. El Camino on Dayton's, bitches guess over babe. Put the brand on me, bet on my bacon. We get flat in the bacon, I might just roll out today. I might just roll out to Vegas, head back to my old ways. Look at me, baby. Look at me, baby. Don't I look like a million? I'm about to clean out the safe. Don't I look like somebody that just be bodying everything? All that talking is great, but I don't be talking. I air it out. All the problems have gotten easy to bury. I'd rather drown him in Hendrix. I'd rather kiss on my Mary. I've been broke for way longer than I've been rich. So until it levels out, I'ma take your mama to the Marriott and belly flop. Took me so long to get it gone. One in the bag, bubble. One in the hand, one in the bag, bubble. Look at the cash, look at the cash, bubble.
We don't need to tell you that Vancouver has a housing problem.
Mass evictions.
Mass rent evictions.
Unfair rent increases.
What happened to rent control and protection from unfair eviction?
If these or other housing matters concern you, you may be interested in joining the Vancouver Tenants Union. For more information, visit tenantsunion.ca.
The world is a better place because of Kim Kardashian's empire,
Cheetos,
fleece material,
and Discorder.
It's a local independent music magazine from CITR.
Which means that we can print whatever we heckin' want.
Album and live show reviews, interviews with artists, and sweet illustrations grace our pages.
And even you, listener, can contribute.
Just visit CITR.ca/Discorder/contribute.
You can grab it around town or read it at Discorder.ca.
Forever local and forever free.
You're listening to CITR 101.9, broadcasting from UBC's Point Grey campus, located on the traditional, unceded Coast Salish territory of the Hunkaminam-speaking Musqueam people.
Thank you.
back to Flashback. I'm Alec Christensen, and joining me in the studio, station manager of CITR and executive director of Redgate Art Society, Anna Rose Carrico. How are you doing?
I'm good. Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much for coming on. Have you been on air at CITR since taking over?
Since taking over? No. I've been interviewed on air a few times previous to that about the Redgate.
Yeah. Okay. Well, welcome.
Thank you.
I'm so excited you were able to do this. So let's talk about Redgate. That's what we're here to do. I think it's so cool. I think it's doing great work. But for people who might not know, what exactly is it? Just maybe in broad terms.
Sure. So essentially, our primary mandate is to provide as affordable as possible studio space for artists and musicians, while also providing a space for them to showcase their work, essentially. So basically, our focus is on the lowest level of grassroots culture, because we believe that you can't have any kind of a cultural ecosystem in a city without having a place where people can experiment and make mistakes without worrying about losing a ton of money or
right, because obviously it starts at the grassroots.
Absolutely.
Unless you win a big. Yeah, exactly.
Unless you win a singing contest.
And then I think its origins are also really interesting. Do you maybe want to go through how
sure.
it came to be?
Yeah, so essentially we had a building on Main and Cambie, which was not nearly so well organized. It was essentially just a loose collection of artists of various disciplines. And then when we were facing eviction from that building is when we decided to essentially organize. So that was when we became an actual not-for-profit. That was when we started calling the organization something official.
Sure.
And then we used that in our search for the next building, which took around a year and a half, actually. We had a pretty substantial gap between the buildings.
Okay.
Which luckily is not happening this time.
That's great.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously the main objective of Redgate is to preserve local arts and culture.
Absolutely. And yeah. I mean, we do, we've done a lot of people's, hosted them on the first tours, right? It's people's first band,
sure.
their first show, is really what the
Getting
focus is.
Getting people started.
Is.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think having communication between cities does help. Obviously
right.
is local. And then as well as, we have delved into providing space for more community-based work, right?
Awesome.
Workshops.
And I think it's a bit intuitive, and a lot of CITR listeners may already have an awareness of why it's so important, but can you maybe explain why it's so important to cultivate
safer spaces?
Safer spaces for newer artists and...
Right. I mean, essentially a lot of what we do and at CITR as well as at the Redgate is support people who aren't, who are ordinarily fairly underrepresented mm-hmm. In mainstream culture. I feel like spaces like ours and places like this, people who feel marginalized by most of society have a tendency to gravitate towards those spaces because they don't have anywhere that's made for them essentially
right.
under capitalism,
right?
So we have to make our own spaces together. And then when you have those kinds of demographics sharing ideas, of course, it's going to be a little more revolutionary
no,
or whatever
sure.
it is that you want to call it.
It's powerful. Okay, so you personally, you're in a director for Redgate.
I'm a director for Redgate. So Redgate is operated collectively,
right.
the society, and then I'm the executive director of the Redgate Review Stage, which is our theater on Granville Island.
Awesome, okay. It's on Granville Island?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
How did you personally get involved with
So I actually got involved with my dad.
Okay.
My dad and I are co-founders
oh.
of the organization.
Wow.
Yeah, he's been doing spaces like this for about as long as I've been
sure.
alive. And then I got involved in my early 20s,
mm-hmm.
I guess. And then, helped with the actual founding of the society.
For sure. And I think it's even more important right now to have affordable creative spaces if you look at just Vancouver's property market, right?
Absolutely, yeah.
So how, it's amazing that Redgate's able to find a balance between providing affordable space and paying the bills. I think how, without getting too specific, maybe how
so many volunteer hours.
Really?
Yeah, it's just the fact that the community feels the need for a space like this, and
right.
they're willing to put the time and energy in. I mean, as far as it's really difficult just because at this point the housing market is affecting every aspect of people's lives. to the point where, like, they can't afford studio space, but a lot of times people can only afford to go out once or twice a month, and so they're not as likely to take a chance on a musical act they've never heard of.
Sure.
Right? So it becomes more difficult in that area as well.
And isn't it, like, aren't you able to provide space for, like, isn't it $1.50 per square meter per month?
Foot.
Square foot per month. That's still great.
Yeah, it's still very reasonable. Else. Yeah.
That's awesome. And then also, are there any other organizations doing anything similar in Vancouver? Or is Redgate pretty unique in that?
Oh, no, absolutely. I mean, there's certain places that would rather, I think, remain unnamed.
Sure.
Because they might not be as legitimate as we are. But there's a lot of, I feel like the idea of underground venues being community space is pretty universal.
Sure.
And different places might choose to focus on different aspects of, like, resistance.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that that's pretty common.
And operating at different levels of notoriety.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Sure. Okay. Want to take a quick break. We're going to listen to Mint by Dumb, who is one of the bands recording out of Redgate, correct? All right. So we're going to listen to that, and then we'll be right back with Anna Rose Character. On maybe the reception to Redgate, obviously, I'm sure artists appreciate it, but maybe could you talk about the number or estimate the number of artists you guys served? Your eyebrows raised when I said that, so it looks like it's going to be a big number.
It is going to be a big number, so essentially because we have seven music rehearsal studios, and then depending on the size of studio that visual artists want, we've had anywhere from 3 to 10.
Okay.
Generally, we serve around roughly like 60 artists and musicians at a time.
Okay.
So over the years, there's been some rotation.
Sure.
As well as because the rehearsal spaces are monthly lockups. So bands essentially can share, they can pile as many bands in there as they want, as long as they can, like, then still function.
Sure.
So there can be a lot of rotation in that respect as well. But yeah, I'd say between 60 and 80. And then we also have, like, I don't have studio space there, but I definitely utilize the space.
Sure.
And then there's, like, the greater community, which is, you know. Yeah. Probably thousands of people.
That's insane. That's so cool. And then we just listened to Dumb, who, like, they're doing a lot right now. They're about to release their album. Do you want to just go through a couple other bands or artists you guys have?
I mean, I hate doing this part because I never want to leave anyone out.
Sure,
and there's so many people. I mean, Lié is just about to go on tour. They've rehearsed there since we opened, I think.
Wow.
We had the Joe Pass album release there. They don't practice there, but okay. Joe is fairly like somewhat involved mm-hmm. in the community. There's Dumb. I mean, and then we had our last show, Alley Fest, on Saturday.
Okay.
And so that was so many amazing bands. I think we had 12 bands
wow.
play. Yeah.
That's great.
And that was ended by Adrian Teacher and the Subs, who have also practiced there since we opened.
Awesome. Bit of a spoiler alert. That's the next song I have lined up.
Oh.
So that was a great segue. I guess maybe looking ahead, what does the future hold for Redgate? Like, what are something, where does the organization either want or need to kind of go in the coming?
I mean, years? We're pretty optimistic right yeah. now, just because we do have a new space that we can move right into, which was definitely not the case last year. You know, mm-hmm. like I mentioned before, it was a year and a half. And so we did lose a lot of momentum, right, in that respect, as well as innocence. so this time we're a lot more optimistic, as well as we have a longer term lease, which means that we could be eligible for infrastructure grants,
sure.
which we never have been before.
Sure.
We've been completely self-sustaining until now, so we might not want to change that, but as well as possibly hall status like Beaumont Studios has,
okay.
so that we could have shows just all the time if we wanted.
That'd be great.
Yeah, it would be really amazing.
Yeah.
And then as far as our mission beyond that, we just want to make Vancouver a city that I would want to visit, basically, right. right? Like, my dad and I, we went to Berlin when I was, like, 19. Mm-hmm. And we were like, oh, this is amazing. We should move here. And then we were like, no, we should make Vancouver more like
yeah.
Berlin.
Yeah. Be,
not
kind of like be the change you want to see. Like,
totally.
Totally.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah. This is my hometown, right?
Right.
I don't want to leave, and I don't want to see it become this right. like post-cultural wasteland.
Right. Just commercial
yeah.
buildings.
You know, more young people are leaving all the
yeah.
time. So we have to find a way to make it interesting enough for people to stay and affordable.
Right. Right. And the arts are an incredible.
Absolutely.
Way to reach
yeah.
that demographic. Redgate's legacy. So obviously, I think that's really great. You said you wanted to make Vancouver more like places you want to live. Have you seen anything? I'm like sure it exists, but have you seen anything similar to Redgate popping up in other cities? I know on the website it says that London is doing something similar, right? But like it's sponsored by the city?
Yeah, London essentially is a model that we'd really like the city of Vancouver to follow.
Okay.
And I mean, I think that Vancouver is definitely making steps to do that. The Sound Diplomacy, who is the group who did the City of London study, recently mm-hmm. did a study here in Vancouver. And so I think that there's a lot of people from all areas of the creative scene that are realizing that this is a real problem.
Right.
London has the same problem as Vancouver, where it's just exorbitantly expensive, and so right. a lot of their DIY spaces were closing down, and so they did a study where they put actual dollars figuring out how much money these places generate in the local economy, for okay. one thing, which is actually pretty substantial. Not in part because of the amount of dedication of the people being involved. A lot of those people are overqualified and overworked mm-hmm. and are just willing to put in the hours because
right.
they love it.
They care
right?
about it, yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome. And then before we wrap up, if people want to get involved with Redgate, what's the best way to do that?
So we will essentially accept anyone.
Okay.
We have our collective meetings every Monday night at 8:30. Anyone's welcome to come by and pitch a show or say that they want to get involved. Or they can get in touch with us through our Facebook page, which is Redgate Art Society,
sure.
as well as our website, which is redgate.at.org.
Awesome. And then I always do this with every guest. You get to either shout someone out or call someone out if you're feeling... Depends on how you feel.
I would like to give a shout out to Dave Dupree because he is the one who contacted us about our new building.
Awesome. Shout out to Dave. Thank you so much for coming by.
No problem. Thank you for having
I'm
me.
I'm so glad you were here. And shout out to Anna Rose Carrico for coming by.
All day long I sit and stare while charm the spades walk everywhere, and delicas and breweries surround me. Coffee shop economy and friends that cannot make ends meet. Nothing left, you've been passed out and left town, but not you. You leave the light on, the bedroom light. Believe it. Why are we still here? What the hell happened? Yuppies walk their puppies hand in front of taco stands. Luxury is charmless and it's hopeless. But not you. Leave the light on, the bedroom light. Was here before?
I don't know.
Some kind of mom and pop? They've really cleaned it up, haven't they? Well, how would you like to be remembered? I hope that you believe in somebody. Somebody new, but I'm with you.
By the way, this is somebody's favorite show. Hi, Dan Shakespeare here. You know, for most of the stuff that I play, you probably think that I'm much older, but you know what? Most of you are probably way off, because I'm only 23 years old. Tune in to The Shakespeare Show between noon and 1 p.m. on Wednesdays. It's songs from before the 1920s to alternative stuff today, plus jokes and riddles, all sorts of fun stuff. Just put any of it on your iTunes if you need to. Pretty soon it'll be coming out on albums.
Thank you.
Thank you to Kareem Halasay, Vita Luce, and Kareem Shamoot for co-hosting. Thanks to IU for calling in. Go check them out. And thank you to Anna Rose Carrico and Redgate Art Society. Go support them. We'll be back in 2 weeks with an all-new episode of Flashback. See you then.